And welcome back. Hi, I'm Jerry Nixon.
Looking good, Jerry. Looking real good.
So obviously we've swapped places because we had a little bit of technical issue, and you're going to be running on my machine for the time being.
There's no getting around that fact. That is exactly right. All right, well, welcome back. This is the 10th module of the course. This is the third module of the day. We're going to be talking about communication today, or during this module. Specifically, let's talk about the way that your application talks back to the user. So the first one we'll talk about just generally is the idea of toast, how you use toast, and some things to think about that as well. We'll also talk about push notifications, using Azure Notification Hub to create some push notifications for your user, be able to communicate with them even when your application is not running. And then we'll also talk about Solarizer and the way that we use notifications in Solarizer, and honestly be able to demonstrate some of the cool things that you're going to be able to do with these notifications. With no further ado, let's begin, shall we?
It's like a plan.
Yeah. All right. How do I send toast? This is the first thing. So I guess it's worth talking about what toast is. Sending toast in your application is a capability, which means your app is not going to be able to send toast until you go into the app manifest and you set toast capable to yes. This is such a common mistake where you go through all the effort of creating a toast, all the code to send it, and it doesn't work. So you go onto Stack Overflow, it still doesn't work, only to realize you didn't go into your app manifest and set toast capable is yes. So first, this is a capability, and it's always transient. What that means is that the toast appears and then goes away. The user has the option to swipe it away as quickly as it shows up. But the user also has the option, in fact, let me show you this on my machine, or I'll show this actually on Darren's machine, that I can go into notifications here and I can disable them at any time if I don't want them. So I could go in here and, for example, I could set them off for 8 hours. Now from that point forward, no matter what your application does, capability or not, the user is not going to receive any toast notifications. So what that means is if your application requires and needs toast notifications in order to work, it's not going to. So you need to think about toast notifications as an add-on, a special piece of candy that adds more value but certainly doesn't dedicate the entire workflow to it, right? That's really going to be an important part. By the way, to turn them back on, all I have to do is just click it and it goes away. So now notifications are back on, I can turn them off, and I can turn them right back on. Fantastic. So not guaranteed is another thing to think about. The toasts that are sent are going to be sent to all the devices that the user has your app installed and is logged in at the time. But you don't know that they're ever going to receive it at all, and you won't get a confirmation back that is a reliable one for you. Why would you turn them off is because, Darren, you're just, gosh, I'll swipe it away. What a dork. All right. Another thing that's cool about toast is that you can send with them a payload. So they're defined in XML, and inside that XML there's a place where you can put information or payload information so you can see what it looks like. It's really nice, and so that way as you send not just a message that they can see, not just a logo that they can see, but you can also send something that once they tap it. In fact, send me another one, will you? I'm going to tap it and show that it causes my application to run. So if I were to tap this, it would cause Solarizer. Let me double check that it's still installed.
But you know, because you just received it.
There it is. There it goes. Launches Solarizer for me. That's beautiful. What a great little feature. So easy. That's the whole demo. We're done for the hour. Pretty great. All right. How do we create it? So this is code, by the way, from the toast service that we created for Solarizer. So if I were to open up Solarizer, which I will right now, and I were to look into our shared project and go into services, here's the toast service that we have. And you can see we've got a couple things. We've got the toast helper, which is where all the actual logic is. This is implementing every possible version of toast, and it allows you to control it and do some really great things with it. So for example, I'll show you, there's two styles of methods here. Yes, I can. You don't have that keystroke mapped. Let's see. How about, nope, that's a little too deep, too heavy. That's good enough. All right, great. So this is the structure of the helper. Remember, the helper is not the service itself. It's what the service is going to leverage. It's a lot like the storage helper. And so here I can say, you know, show toast one. So if I were to, in fact, let me go ahead and do that. I'll pull up and say toast. I'll say Windows toast catalog, template catalog. And you can see there's a lot of different options. Let's see, is it right here? I hope it is. Oh, well, no, it's the one that says the catalog. Fabulous. First one right on the thing. Shows there's a lot of different options. So your toast can look like this. Your toast can look like this. Your toast could look like this. Your toast could have a picture. Your toast could have two lines and they wrap. Your toast could have two lines in the first one wraps. Your toast could have three lines.
Looks like there's close to a trillion of these.
But as it turns out, there's only eight. And so that's why there are all these different methods, each one calling the different template that you want and slightly overridden to allow you to pass in the right content for each. So that's what the helper does, calling it, but it also allows you to build it, which is valuable. And we'll talk about how you could potentially leverage this on the server so you don't have to use raw XAML as well. So that, then we have the service as well, and the service just does what we want. And so in this case, it announces the appointment, we pass in an appointment, and it takes out the pieces that we want. All right, so that's how we do it. If you're wondering, I wonder what all the code looks like, we summarize it here in this slide right here. And so the first thing that we do is, let me take you above number one. So the first thing that we do is we get the template from the API. Will give us the raw XAML or the raw XML that we can manipulate, and that's what we're doing right here in the Toast Notification Manager. Get template content that's returning XML to us, and we can manipulate it as XML from that point forward. So in number one, the first thing we do is we set the launch attribute. That's the payload that's being sent. So you don't have to do that, by the way. It's only if it's not null. You could just send a message to the user saying something. They tap it, it launches the app, absolutely, but it doesn't have anything that you're going to use as far as args. The second thing is, the second thing here in number two is we set what the content is going to be. So this is text one template, which is the simplest of all. You just send one string, so that's all that this is setting for you, and it does the XML manipulation for you, and that's why we kind of wrap it. You could obviously do this by hand, no problem. In fact, you could build the XML as a raw string as well. There's nothing from stopping you to do that. I like using the API because I can trust it a little bit more and know that it's going to be valid. So that's how we create the toast itself. And then this is the XML that kind of is rendered on the inside that you're not actually seeing. And this is what gets passed, and the operating system knows what to do with this XML and knows how to render a toast. I might just toss out, this is exactly the same way we do primary and secondary tile updates as well. They also use an XML template that looks very, very similar to this. Not identical, and there are a lot more options, but this is the concepts. Great. Now, how do we handle if you do pass a payload? So remember, we're using the Prism MVVM app base, right, that handles all this. So we would be doing this inside the on launch async. And as your application gets launched, we receive an activation kind. And so the activation kind that first happens is launch, right? So this is just handling launch. There are other types that can happen. For example, what we showed in the last hour around the web authentication broker continuation.
Absolutely. Other ones would be file pickers and those kind of continuations as well.
That's right. And so if you look here in the first section above number one, this is where we handle the primary tile. The way that we know it's the primary tile is because the tile ID is app. That's just what happens. It's automatic. We didn't do anything about it. And a primary tile would never pass arguments because it's just a simple tile. So we know it's the primary tile. However, what if it's still called app, which is what toasts are called, and like it or not, it would be awesome if they were called toast, but they are not. They are called app. But we can look to see whether or not there's an argument. If there's not an argument, the reality is a toast operates exactly like a primary tile does. So it would fall back up to this initial if statement, and it would just launch your application to the experience you choose. However, if they pass in an argument, now we recognize not only do they have an argument, but we can assume because of app that this is toast notification that's being passed in. We would use that argument in some way, whatever that's going to be, and we would send them to the appropriate experience. Maybe it's a detail, go straight into an appointment or something like that. In the case of Solarizer, we don't use arguments. We demonstrate them, but we don't use them, but it easily could take you to the details of an appointment for sure. And then if you drop on down and you know it's not using app as the tile ID right here, then we know that's a secondary tile, and we can use that in other ways as well. It also could have an argument, and it also could take you to a different experience. pretty simple implementation there, but a lot you could do depending on what your application needs are. Now, how do I send a notification? We saw how we send a local toast. Remember, it's a capability, so you have to have that enabled. But how do I send a toast remotely? So this is me on the server. Something just happened. Your stock portfolio just crashed, Darren. And so I need to send you a toast notification to let you know you need to turn in your computer quickly. And how do I do that? I use the Notification Hub inside Azure.
Absolutely.
Now, the Notification Hub sits on top of the Windows Notification Service. The Windows Notification Service is the, The Windows Notification Service is the notification subsystem. Mm-hmm. Just like iOS, Apple's iOS, they have their own subsystem. Just like Amazon's Kindle, they have their own subsystem. Mm-hmm. And Android itself has its own subsystem. So there's several push notification services in the world. The purpose of Azure Notification Hub is to bring all of those together so that as I send one out, I can send it to any device and I can send it to any through any of those systems, and I just tell it which one to use.
Yep, it's a pretty handy system, and its first level of aggregation, in fact, was to consolidate between the notification systems that are available on the Windows Store apps and the Windows Phone apps. Fortunately, now, as part of the Universal App sort of initiative, both platforms are now migrated to using WNS.
That's right. A lot of apps on the phone still use Windows Phone Notification Service. That still works, no big deal. But yeah, we're definitely pushing everybody to use WNS so there's a single system for everybody, and it's beautiful. All right, so what can I push remotely? One of the things that I can push remotely is Toast, which we just saw a demo of. Another thing we can push is a tile update. So this is my primary or secondary tile. It needs to be updated remotely to show something's changed. Maybe I have a new email or something like that. So I can do all that remotely. I don't have to be local or use a background task. I can also just update the badge. The badge is that little number on the tile. I can have that number updated if I don't want to do the entire XML. And I can also send raw, so this would be for communication directly.
More to background services and so on.
More to a background service. I don't want the user to see anything. I'm just sending raw information that they can use then later. That's exactly right. So again, I have multiple devices that I'm using your app, Darren. Mm-hmm. Each of those will receive that Toast notification, not just one, the one that I'm on now. All of them will receive it, and I can interact with it there. If it's turned off and you send a Toast notification, it is absolutely not queued. It just doesn't get delivered.
And one key thing to talk about in terms of targeting and so on, that's not necessarily something that happens automatically. That's something that when you're setting up your notifications and your channels and so on, I keep looking in the wrong direction from my camera. you need to register whatever tags and so on that you want to be using to target your pushes.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the Notification Hub helps you do that. I'll step back just for a quick second and give you a call out to mobile services. So Azure Mobile Services has a wrapper around Notification Hub. There's a lot of code to get Notification Hub to work. I say a lot, but it's really not all that much. But there's some things that you are going to want to do. And mobile services helps wrap that into a single API for you. So how do you do it? There are two ways. There's a Notification Hub API through the message bus SDK, but you could also go directly to mobile services and let that handle it for you. It's kind of depends on the type of app you're using. If you're using as a background service or background as a service, the mobile services toolkit, then just keep using that because it really handles a lot for you. In Solarizer, we didn't use that. We don't use mobile services. We go directly to the Notification Hub using the Service Bus API or the Service Bus SDK. Great, we have this idea of tags. And tags are really helpful. Whenever I register my channel, that is to say my device that I'm on, says to the hub, hey, here I am. If you have any push notifications, send them here for this user in this app. Great. As soon as I do that, I also can include now with the Notification Hub these tags that allow me to direct the push notification specifically. So you see that there's a change. You want to send out a broadcast so everybody using your app says, hey, there's a new version. Go get it and update. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. But you might also have it so that you send it only to me, right? And so now I can use tags, a tag that says, hey, Jerry likes sports. So I'm going to send it only to my users who like sports. Or I could say, Jerry's email is this, and he is registered with ID colon or whatever it is. And we'll talk about how those come across and how we use those inside Solarizer.
Absolutely. So, I mean, to talk about Solarizer, the whole conceit was that you have these appointments and they're allocated to a specific engineer. that engineer is logged in using a credential that's well known. It's part of the Active Directory. And so you can allocate to that user. We have that cross-reference table in our schema that cross-references the user to an agent. And so we can actually send a push notification to specific users, regardless of what device they're using.
Yep.
You know, if they happen to have a tablet and a phone, and today they're just using their phone, it'll arrive on both devices.
Just like that. It's not magic, but it certainly works well.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so let's talk about how we register a channel. The code for it is pretty simple because the API wraps it for us in a nice way. So there's a couple things that you're going to need to know. As you go into Azure, you're going to create a notification hub. You'll probably create one for every app that you need to so you can isolate everything. So in this case, it's the sample notification hub, right? You would create probably a different one. The nice thing is you can create it and name it whatever it is you want to and not worry about clashing with one that I created, because all of these exist inside a namespace inside Azure. I'll demo all of that so that you can see what that looks like. So the first thing is this hub name, so sample notification, but then we also have an endpoint. And the hub, once it's created, will give you the endpoint. Mm-hmm. So this is a way for us to communicate directly to the hub in two possible ways. The first way is to listen, the other one is to push. And so obviously inside your applications, you're gonna create an endpoint that is for listening. However, I say obviously, but you may actually have a workflow where you want the user to send out a notification for you, or for some reason that you want it so that they are creating them, no big deal. You can have the push endpoint. If it were me writing an application I was going to deploy in the store, I would actually not want to do that. I'd probably have that handled by a service, make the user authenticate to that service, and have the service have the endpoint for me. Otherwise, you give away your sending endpoint to anybody, right? And anybody could misuse that. And so it's nice to have that encapsulated and secured inside a service. However, it's your application. You could do anything you want. All right, let's look. First thing we do is create this notification hub. So this is all the pieces that handle it for us. It goes in and doesn't register yet, right? This is just setting up the communication. The first thing we pass in the hub name. The second thing is that endpoint. Then we'll use the hub to do some work for us. So now we go, and now this is an asynchronous operation, so I put it inside a quick task factory. And we'll use the push notification channel manager. It has a static method that is create push notification channel for application async, right? And that's basically what it's gonna do is create the unique URI for the channel to come back. So that basically this is when the push notification up on the server needs to be sent, what's the path to reach this particular device for this particular user? Well, it's created for us by the push notification channel manager. Then we need to send it up to the hub, and this is how we do it. So hub.registerNativeAsync, native of course meaning that this is a Windows application. So we say register native async, and I pass in the URI that comes back from that channel object. The channel object actually has several things. It's only the UI we need in order to register. As soon as we've registered it, it's done. Push notifications can come immediately. And registration, by the way, can expire after, I think it's 30 days that it expires. And so it makes total sense for code similar to this to be at the startup of your application so that they re-register, which doesn't cause any problems, but it does reset that timeout so that it doesn't expire so quickly, right? So what happens is it's 30 days from every time they run it. What that also means, and it's good for the user, is that this channel will eventually expire and they don't have to worry about apps that they don't like, sending them push notifications, app they stop using, sending them push notifications. But it is something that you as a developer should recognize, that if you are relying on push notifications in some way, after 30 days, it's gone. Another thing that's an override for this is we can pass in tags. This is where I would pass in a tag saying who I am. I might pass in a tag saying I am a sports fan, a music fan, or something that might help me isolate which push notifications you're sending out, and those could be filtered for me. All right. Maybe it'd be easier just to show it.
Oh, I think you should.
All right.
Dive on in.
I think I will dive on in for sure. All right, so we'll do this obviously in a universal app. I only have to set this one time, so because this is a shared SID with both the Windows app and the store app. So
yep.
I'll go ahead and...
SID being the security ID.
SID being the security ID. So I'm going to do this only with a Windows app for now, but just know it's a shared SID, so you could do it both ways. So I'm going to set it here to be... This is Galactic Attack, and as soon as I've registered it with the store... And so, I mean, associated it with the store, I'm going to be able to get the SID from the store as well. So first things first, let's go in and set all this up inside Azure. So I'll go into my portal, and remember, the first thing I'm gonna do is not create a hub, is to create a namespace for it to go into. This is in the Service Bus tab, not probably where you expect it to be, but it is where it is nonetheless. There at the bottom in the Service Bus tab is where I can select create a namespace. And this namespace is simply gonna be my Galactic Attack namespace. There we go. And then I'll recognize it when it's in that aggregate view at the beginning. I'm going to set up a notification hub. I don't know if you noticed, but the namespace itself does have to be unique. It's what's inside the namespace that can be, whatever I need. And it doesn't have to be globally unique, I guess is what I mean. So I'll have a notification hub list inside my namespace. I'll say to create a new one. It was empty. I need my Galactic Attack Hub here. I'll just call it Galactic Attack Hub. You can see the little spinner over there making sure everything's all right. Again, it has to be unique, but only inside my namespace, so everything is all right. I'll make this inside the central US region, but I could move that around if I was geographically located in another part of the world, or not even if I was, but if my users were geographically located in another part of the world. All right, so now it's time for the SID. That notification hub is not ready, not until I know what the application SID is. So again, I'm gonna go over to the Windows Store. This is a Windows application, but I could do it both ways. And so I'll go into my Galactic Attack, go into services, and remember it's the live services site link that's gonna give me where this is. And so here it is right here. Remember, this would be wrong if I hadn't already associated to the store. So please remember that, associated to the store. Remember the demo I did not so long ago on, what were we setting up? We were setting up, we were securing a client. Yeah. Security. Don't forget, you have to put the slash at the end, but not for a notification hub.
It's
don't put the slash.
You no might slash. Think
you want to put the slash, but don't put the slash. It's just one of those things.
Yep.
Right. So now it's asking for the client secret. We haven't used this before. This is set up by the live services piece here, and provided on the same page. But I have to give this client secret to the hub, and this is going to be a shared piece, and it's all going to be handled behind the scenes for me, basically. But once I have that, that's the hub being set up. Now I can go and I can get that endpoint that I can use to do the communication and register of my channel. So this is the dashboard of the hub. This is where I can go get connection information here. So I'll click the bottom and you can see it has that list. And there's two of them, that shared access signature. That one is for listening and one is for full. I guess it's listening and writing, if that makes sense. Read and write, so to speak. All right, so what have we done? We've configured the hub, and we've done it with the SID and the secret. And the endpoint that we need is the listen one, and that's probably the one you're going to do in your application. Let's go now to the xaml.app.cs file, that go down to launched, and start to register this. Remember that your channel will expire, so it kind of, to me, it makes total sense for you to register channel every time it's launched. It's a very quick operation. It's an asynchronous operation. That doesn't mean it's a 100% free operation, so it makes sense that you might have this in a place where you have like a startup screen. So here I am. This is the SDK we are going to use, Windows Azure Service Bus managed for Windows Store. Quite a mouthful. But once it's there it is, Microsoft.WindowsAzureMessaging.managed. And so now I have the SDK that I need. So now I can go build that notification hub and register it as well. So I'll new up the hub here. So we'll say new notification hub. And this is going to ask me then for the endpoint, like we saw on the slide, as well as the name of the hub. So let's go ahead and get that not set up yet. I'll just put a little placeholder here. But in order to get it just right, I know what the name of my hub is, to be honest, but I'm going to go back to the website and make sure that I get it correct. So let me go back. Here it is, Galactic Attack Hub. I want to get every letter right, so I'm just going to do a quick copy to make sure I get that right. That's the first of the steps, right? And then I will, of course, I just smashed my my clipboard, so let me go get the endpoint as well. Right, and I wouldn't
have
to,
you won't remember.
Which I won't remember. This, by the way, is shared code. This would work for the phone, and it would work for Windows exactly the same, right? 100% exactly the same. So I don't have to do any pound ifs or anything because I would have a different endpoint. The endpoints are identical because they use the same SID after I associate both through the store. easy enough. All right, so the first thing I need is to build the channel. That's basically trying to determine what's the URI back to this device from the push notification service. So again, this is a static method off of the channel manager. And so I'll just say create push notification channel for application async. Hang on just a second, let me type this.
So this is actually registering it once you've got the channel?
That's right, I'll pass in the channel to the register method. There we go. Not the channel, sorry, yeah, right, the URI. There we go. It takes the URI, and now it's all there. I mean, it's as simple as that, to be honest. And once that's updated, it'll run every time the user launches. That's a good practice, just so I can know that the channel will remain open and not be not go stale and then be taken away much faster, right? So I want to make sure that if this does take a couple seconds, that I give them a UI, it doesn't look like it's frozen.
So that's a key point, though, that you're pointing out there, is you have to run this to actually register. Just writing the code means you're not suddenly magically going to get the notifications.
That's right. So I'll run it here. I immediately close it. I don't care, right? I just want that launch to run. I know it's super duper fast. And so now that I've run it, the register native async has been called, and I know that it's registered with the up in the notification hub. I'll tell you one thing great about the notification hub. It has a lot of telemetry. If I'm wondering how many people have registered, I'm wondering how many messages I've sent, it's all there. And it's one of the things that's nice about having something on top of the Windows push notification service, not just because I can call to other networks, but also because it gives me all that telemetry. Now remember, I'm gonna have a toast pop up here. So if I hadn't already had that toast marked to yes, which I had, which is great, I would have needed to rerun the application to make sure that it was enabling toast, just like I just did, right? I didn't have to do that. Great, so don't forget, that's an important step. Enable toast, because this is toast that's coming up. Now my app isn't running anymore. It doesn't have to run, which is really cool. So I can go over to Server Explorer. There I can start looking at all the services that I have for Windows Azure, including looking at all my notification hubs. I can go into diagnostics, where I can look and see whether or not it works by a simple test function that they've built for us. I can send toast, I can send tile, I can send raw toast from here, whatever it is that I want. So then I just click send, and presto. Look at that.
Yep.
Wouldn't have worked if I had turned off Toast notifications. Wouldn't have worked if I didn't have Toast enabled as capability. Wouldn't have worked if I hadn't registered first my channel. But I have done all that, and it's beautiful.
Good job. Why don't you dismiss it?
All right. All right. With Windows Azure Notification Hub, this is a service where the Windows Notification Hub, the raw one, is 100% free. The Notification Hub in Azure is a service that aggregates all the different systems. The first 1 million push notifications per year are free. That's a lot. Of course, if you have 2 million users and you just sent out two, you just broke that. I think it's 10 million per month is the next tier up, so it's gigantic. But if you have that many, then you're doing great. The current price is $10 a month, so it's not crazy. Again, this is push notifications using the Notification Hub. Super easy to implement, gives you all kinds of telemetry, but it also enables things like tags, so you can push it specifically to different users that you want to. You would manage that on the back end yourself and build all this infrastructure if you didn't use the Notification Hub. We also get to send a payload with that, so as I tap the toast that pops up, I could, of course it would make my application launch, but I could also send some sort of payload with it, an argument that I could use in the launch method, launch override of AppSAML CS. There it is.
Sounds good.
All right, so let's look at notifications in Solarizer and the reason that we switched tables. All right, so Solarizer, that's our app, we use notifications that start from the server. They're invoked by the dispatcher, let's say, and they go out to the field. And one of the use cases we considered was, hey, you've got a new appointment, you should look at this, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, they could get that another way. We don't make that a workflow that they rely on. It's just some candy for the user to make the workflow a little easier, a better experience.
Sounds like a plan. Shall we cut to mine and I can show the server experience?
It depends on if Barry's going to do it or not. Barry?
No.
No? Oh, man. Now we're in trouble. Okay, so what I have up here right now is I have a website, which is, I've actually just typed in the URL to go out to our server. So this is our location on the server. So we've actually got this authenticated through Azure Active Directory. So I'm going to log in as an account.
I like the fact that you're logging in for our service. I might as well say for anybody watching, you could try to log in if you want. Our password is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's the hash version. The hash version of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Okay, so this is a an ASP.NET MVC. Anybody will recognize the styles. You know, it's a nice responsive website and so on. It's all fancy. None of it's my work, really, in reality.
This is the boilerplate site that comes out.
This is using Bootstrap. And we've created a nice little API surface here that allows us to test out pushing notifications. On the right-hand side here, I've got a phone that's already set up and registered. Mm-hmm. So give me a string.
Jerry.
It's all about Jerry.
It really is sometimes. Hey, I just got a toast notification on my machine.
So here I have the toast notification arriving inside the phone.
Brilliant.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So this is the code on the server side. And just to emphasize this, if we flick into our project, we've got dispatcher.web. If I open up the controllers, we have the notification controller. If I open up this, so this is the server side of sending a notification. And so in here, we create a client from the connection string. Looks very, very similar to what we've actually just done on the client side. The difference being that this has full access.
Yeah, it's not the listen endpoint. This is the full endpoint.
Yeah, I saw some questions about payload. So when we're talking about payload, it's just a data packet that we're sending as part of a message.
So, wait, even better, it's a string.
Yeah.
It's just a string.
Yep, that's all we're using it for here.
We got to jam it into the XML. I mean, that's the reason it's just a string.
Exactly. And so this is the XML that builds the toast that we're sending. And here is the notification string.
Worth pointing out, you could have used our helper for this, right? So you didn't have to interact with the XML directly.
Just being more verbose here. Here's our payload. It starts off as an empty string. If on the web UI, I actually supply something in the payload field. Then we actually have a payload that's injected into the XML here. And then we send out our toast. We also have the ability, as I mentioned earlier on, to target specific usernames by virtue of the convention we employed, which is we create a tag that is the username. So we have user colon, the username that we're sending it
yep.
to.
Yep.
And that will actually target a notification.
Now, let's be clear. The tag that you're adding, that user colon, and then whatever value you have after it, is what we have decided
it's
to use.
It's our convention. There is nothing that says that's how you have to do it.
Notification Hub doesn't say, hey, use this colon that. No, no, no. You can be anything you want. They do recommend this to us. This mm-hmm. is where we came up with it, and it's yep. a really easy way to do. And they also have Boolean operators that allow us to say, if not, user colon Darren, let's say, mm-hmm. Then it wouldn't send to you and it would send to me and everybody else.
Sure. So if, for example, I send to John at solarizer.onmicrosoft.com.
That's the user we've been using this entire time.
Yeah, and that's who is registered with this app. If I send this across to here, then we see Jerry arrive there.
I just got it.
If I turn around and say admin and send it, nothing arrives over here.
I didn't receive it either.
That's a good job. So if you want to flick over to Jerry's screen.
And all you're doing is making sure that you have sent to a tag or specified a tag that matches the tag when they register the channel.
So I've just sent from the web, targeted at John, and it's arrived on Jerry's machine.
Very nice. And if I tap that, obviously it's going to launch our application.
Yeah.
In fact,
let's do that.
Let's do it. I'm going to do it inside the debugger mm-hmm. so that we can look and let me switch over so that I'm using Windows instead. I'll launch it in the simulator so we don't lose reference, or not reference, but we don't use a visual to it when I need to debug. And let me set a quick...
Though, of course, notifications won't arrive when you're inside the simulator.
You know what? Let's just say that out loud.
Yes.
Notifications
will not arrive if you're running in the simulator.
That is 100% right. So I'm going to switch that back to be not in the simulator. You set up toast notifications. You wonder why they're not working. Everything seems all right, but they just don't freaking arrive. Ah!
simulator.
And of course, I just ran it again in the simulator.
Right? Good job. Nothing if not
I just wanted to illustrate what doesn't work. All right, switching that to local machine and running.
So I'll send a notification string of demo payload. And what should we have as the payload?
I got a little error here. Let me see if I did something silly. You know what I bet that said? Something with a key. All right, that is excellent. The launched won't launch if I do it this way. Let me...
Don't you want to set it up so you can debug on start?
Yeah, let me do that. So I will, let's see, right here, all I have to make is a quick change to the Windows properties, go over to debug, and right here I can select do not launch, but debug my code when it does start. So this allows it to, so I can go up to local machine, nothing will actually occur, but it's listening for this application to be started. Before you do anything, let me go put my breakpoint in. So I will go to the shared app manifest here, or AppXam here. And then down in almost got it, right here. So this is, hopefully you recognize this from the slide that we had. This is when it launches, right? The activation kind is launch. I'm looking to see what the tile ID is, it's app. Then down here, I look to see if the tile is argument. It could go either way that you're gonna send me, so I'm gonna look at both of them. So I'll go ahead and put the breakpoint there, and I will await.
Okay, what shall I put in the payload? Scotty, there we go.
Oh, Scotty.
I've got an awesome
dog captain. That is so great.
Okay, so I've just sent the payload.
Should I click it?
I think you should.
All right, launches the application. Visual Studio catches that, of course, and then starts to debug. This is where we hit our breakpoint. And if we look at the arguments sent in, which are right here, right, we can see that a couple of things have happened. First of all, the type is, the kind is right, where's the kind? Right here, right, good gravy. Is launch, that's what we would have expected, right?
Yep.
And we can also see the arguments sent into us. Or Scotty, that was injected into the arguments properly, that's the way that you sent it, right? That's really great. And then tile ID down here is app, that's how we know what's going on. Awesome. All right, so I'll just F10, and we could see now it would go to main, it would use that argument in some way.
Yes.
And so the argument's right here. That's really great. Send me another one, send me something different. Well, why did I do it like that? I need to restart the app so that it listens properly.
You probably should.
You were supposed to wait just a second.
Well, you know.
You're ruining my demo. All right, I'm all set up and ready for the app to launch.
Okay.
All right, right there. Demo payload. And what do I get? Bones. Oh, great. We just switched to the doctor. Very
exactly.
Nice. Okay, so that makes sense to me. This is an easy way for me to send not just information or notification to the user, a way of communicating in a transient way, but it's also a way that if they interact with it, it can actually be actionable, right? They can do something with it. We can have that argument, and then we can cause the application to work differently. Pretty cool, actually.
It's very powerful.
The number of lines to implement this is amazingly small. We went through creating a namespace and then creating the notification hub. No big deal, it was pretty easy.
The biggest complexity of leveraging these services has been knowing exactly what fields to copy from what areas in other aspects of the registration on the Azure website and moving them into your code and making sure, okay, this has the trailing slash, this doesn't have the trailing slash. When the SDK talks about a client secret, this is where you go and find that on the website. There is a little bit of a challenge right now in terms of consistency of identifying these elements. The SDKs call them one thing, they're exposed up as something else on the website. So we've done a lot of that mapping for you. So do pay attention when we're showing exactly where we're copying those things, because if it doesn't work, you get a very strange
That app error. SID is just really useful. I mean, it's, everything is using it. And remember, you have to register your app or associate your app first. I've still got the application open here. Can I show maybe how we interact with the primary and secondary tiles as well?
Sure, why not?
So we've built services. Yeah, we've built services, And of course, we built a zillion services. And we built first the primary tile service. In our application, the only thing we use with the primary tile is we update the badge so that when I download the number of when I download my appointments, the number of appointments that I've downloaded updates on the badge so that the user, whoever's in the field, whenever I see the application title, it shows how many are waiting for them. So if I go to the start screen now and I look at, here's Solarizer right here actually, and I can see it has 40 waiting for me right here. This little badge is what we're updating. Look at that. Come back, pumpkins are attacking. Oh gosh, that's so awesome. Wait, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah.
Pumpkins.
All right, so here we are. It follows the same structure, right? We have a primary tile helper. This is where all the code specific to the API is. And we will eventually have a primary tile service. That's the code that uses the helper and is specific to our application. So if we look at the helper, it actually doesn't have much because when I built this, there's a lot you could do to a primary tile, and I knew we were just going to do this. There's a lot more you could implement, but there's a good rule of thumb here that the helper can be very exhaustive, something you could copy from application to application, but the service can be very lightweight, right? Really only accomplishing what you need for it to accomplish here. So
there's also a principle in development, which is you ain't going to need it, which is, you know, when you're building an application, only solve the problems that you actually know you need to do. Don't invest a whole bunch of additional time building out a vast API if it's not directly usable by the application that you're building at this moment in time. That helper can be built out over time as you need to extend and implement other capabilities.
Yeah.
So don't think, oh, now I need to allocate a 2-week sprint to just building out this helper when you only need 3 calls.
Yeah, that's right. And keeping the services API simplistic makes a lot of sense too, because developers are going to come up behind you, right? And they're going to be your maintenance developers or further extend your application. And this is a way of almost communicating what exactly are we doing. If we were to go back to the toast and I was going to remind you, the helper has every possible toast variant, right? However, the service doesn't do that. If I look at how the service for the toast is set up, it only has the single one for the announce appointment, right? Nothing else. So this is a way of letting your architecture be part of the documentation, right? So because sometimes the architecture you choose for your application is the only documentation ever written. All right, so here we are in primary tile. I just wanted to show what that was. And so this is the logic. And look, it's very much similar. In this case, we still are getting XML and interacting with that XML to update the badge. If we needed to update the text or the image or start, this is an overload of the word notification, but add notification to tiles so that it swipes or so that it slides up different content over time. All that can be done right here in the helper, and then we can expose it to our application in the service as necessary. And everything is, of course, driven by the interface. That's how we do our dependency injection in all of our view models. So I have this primary tile, but I also have a secondary tile right here. Secondary tile is a little bit more exhaustive because some of the things we'll want to do is pin and unpin and determine whether or not the appointment is pinned. Right? You can see this API is specific to our application. Of course, I could write all the appointment stuff, but where do we want to put the display name? Where's the tile ID come from? Which argument are we going to use? Well, let's centralize all that inside the service so we don't have to have that different from one view model to another. And then when the view model comes in, all they have to do is pass the appointment. Again, we built the service specific to the application. However, right here is the tile helper. It's completely generic, and I can use that over and over again in all my applications. So hopefully, as you pull down Solarizer, again, it'll be at xaml.codeplex.com, and we'll put that up in a handful of days. You can reuse these helpers all you want, and then you can build the service to match whatever it is the functionality of your application is. So anyway, so that's the primary tile, the secondary tile, the toast. They're all very similar. They're a great way to communicate with the user, push those things out through notification services from the server, update your tiles, send toast notifications, and you can even send raw ones as well. So we're doing some cool things. There we are, communication.
So we're about to break for a meal for
That's
an
right.
hour. So let's do a quick summary of what we were doing on communication.
Yep, as I just did. So before we take a break, though, let me say this one quick thing. We want to kind of acknowledge some of these great guys who are helping us out on live chat right now. So big thanks to Nick and Paul. You guys are unbelievable, answering incredible questions like that. Some wonderful evangelists on my team here in the United States. And so pretty cool guys, thanks, I appreciate that. If you're on the live chat, be sure and take advantage of that. Ask these guys questions and kind of use their knowledge as well. The last session today is gonna be a live Q&A. If you have a question that you feel is just worth being asked on the air and you want everybody to hear the answer, or a question that's just really looming in the back of your mind, don't forget, it's the last session. We'll be taking that live Q&A just like we did yesterday. And so that'll be a good time for us. Right now it's gonna be a meal break. We're gonna go have a meal.
For an hour?
For an hour. We'll see you back at the top of the next hour. Is that right? The top of the next hour?
It's pretty close.
See you in about an hour and 2 minutes.